Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. We're going to do some study this morning, and I need you to pay very good attention. Have your notes in one place, and ensure that you're writing as fast as possible. Is that clear? Okay, now when the pilot announces that for you, it means you should be real ready. Is that clear? Okay, Matthew's Gospel. We're still looking at seated on high, the believer's authority. And I'm taking a long time to lay this foundation for you, because when it comes to Bible teaching, I've been trying to teach for some years now, but when it comes to Bible teaching, you need to lay a lot of foundation. Why do you lay foundation? You should also use that in teaching, because foundation usually provides the context of what you're saying. You must, you know, lay very strong foundation, because don't teach people for what they need now, right? When you preach and teach the Word of God, it's for what they need for the rest of their lives. Something they can build their lives upon forever. So you must be patient. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24, Paul says, the servant of the Lord must, he says, is apt to teach. He said, he must be patient. And that's something you're going to learn to do. Learn to be patient. The servant of the Lord must be patient. So, because I'm going to have a B part next week. I'll round up this part 8 and I'll start the second part, because this is a series I want to take for a while. And you need to really understand the basics. That's why I'm going through the basics with you. So you understand what we talk about: believer's authority, who you are in Christ. You know, there are things that people learn. I call a brother like that. We used to read the E.W. Kenyon books. In fact, he used to be the librarian or a particular fellowship then in university that we used to get to borrow the books from him. And, you know, we took those books, and I mean, I read E.W. Kenyon books and was crying, because I was wondering, how didn't I know all this? You know, and he used to give us books. So one time, I just stumbled. Well, I didn't stumble. He didn't make me stumble. He just made me see it. I saw a particular magazine with him. That particular magazine had a lot of all these spirit of Obanje, you know, and all these Asmodeus, Incubus and Succubus. You know that? You know Incubus and Succubus? You know Asmodeus? What about Bacchus Pacus? He had all those things. So I thought he was just, you know, maybe playing with it. So I said, I was not laughing. He said, what's wrong with it? He just put up a debate. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? And I'm saying, oh, no. I'm just wondering, what are you doing with this? He said, no. Do you know everything? No. And he went on and on and on. And then apparently, you know, later years, I put it to, you know, what happened. Later years, we met. Not too long, a few years ago. About 6 years ago, we met at a conference, and then he is now back to what he used to believe, right? Then he tried to explain to me, you know, had this family problem, this family crisis, and all that. No, so I asked him a question. Has the family crisis ceased? He said no. All right, so what was all that for? I wasn't trying to accuse him anyway, because we're younger. But my point was, he was a librarian. So which means that he probably never got a hold of those things. I know the way you quickly read books. A series. I've listened to 5 teachings. I've listened to, you know, I've read 3 books. And everybody goes, yeah. At the end of the day, there's really no root. Hallelujah. I told you, how even as a pastor, I found out some folks who were in this church, and they left this church, and they began to speak down on the things of the Spirit. I'm talking about people who heal the sick, who have seen the miraculous. Not from me alone, but through their own lives. And they started to deny those experiences. So now it's very easy to blame those people and say, they didn't pay attention. So I saw it as a need to know. Maybe I should do a better job. as their pastor. Now, of course, they are no longer here, so I said to myself, I'm going to take more time to explain the Word of God and take more diligence at it. Because some people are just excited. They're just yeah. You know, it was the grace of God. Yes. You know, Jesus, I died for our sins. Yeah. Yesterday, today, and forever. Woo. Until they get some information, they start saying, You know, because there's no depth. Excitement is not knowledge. Hallelujah. Excitement is not. In fact, when you will know what you really believe is when you are no longer excited. And so that's why this particular sermon will take a while and, you know, to explain it. Because I won't really explain the supernatural to you. Is that clear? Aha. Sometimes we take the supernatural like the supernatural is something outside this earth. And I'm going to give it to you like this. I remember years ago when some of your pastors, then they were in the university. So they came to me, almost 19 years ago. And they came to me and said, Pastor, we want to flow with the Spirit. So I told them, I said, organize a 3-day conference for me. I will give you the Spirit like this. That's how I told them. I said, I will give you the Spirit like this. He said, okay, sir. And that's been the story. Hallelujah. So I'm giving you that same promise. Is that clear? I will give you the supernatural. Do your hand like this. Like this. Hallelujah. So you will understand what it means to walk in the supernatural. Is that very clear? Alright, good. So, I'm trying to say that what we have taught so far, we're just joking. Do you understand? We're just still gisting. From next week, we'll begin the crucial details. Is that clear? I didn't say you should go and burn your notes. Matthew 1:1, let's go. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then we said, now, the writer of Matthew here is not merely writing an eyewitness account. Because if he's writing an eyewitness account, he won't give this detail. This statement here is a theological statement. What I mean by theological is a study of the Old Testament. Which means he found the identity of Jesus from the scriptures. That's Matthew. Look at verse 16. He says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Christ is the word Messiah, okay, which is an Hebrew word, Meshach. It means one who is chosen, or oil has been poured on the surface to make it look special. The second verse, I'm going to talk a little bit about holiness. So verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham, now pay attention to David. He picks out individuals. Abraham, David, are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away from Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now what is the essence of Babylon? I'm going to break that up very, very quickly for you. Now Babylon takes its root from Genesis 11. Babel. Okay? Now Babel is like a counter reaction to God's plan. Now, of course, in growing up, we felt the Tower of Babel, I saw someone argue it on Facebook, and I tried to explain to them, you are reading Jehovah's Witness book. And where I thought Babel, when I was young, was they were trying to build a skyscraper. Right? And then the skyscraper will now go beyond the clouds. Now, that's because in my head, heaven is after the clouds, right? All of them junk. Right? Now, they were not building a skyscraper. What they were building was what was called a temple site. A sacred place for supernatural beings. A kind of a temple. Alright? That's what they were doing. So, a writer of scripture knows that this is a counter-reaction to Eden. Right? Done by men. Now, Babel, right? Babel, pay attention, is a root word of Babylon. That's where you get Babylon from. So, the genesis of Babylon is in Babylon. If you notice the Old Testament, now in the New Testament or New Testament books, you have the God of this world, or this world, the systems of this world. Now, that is an explanation of the word Babylon. When you hear Babylon, Babylon is not exactly a particular area. Babylon refers to, is a motif of Old Testament that refers to what is outside of God's plan, or rebellion against God's plan, alright, or what you have as unity in confusion, something of that nature. So look at this narrative here. It says, so Babylon is what it is, alright, to build a tower for gods, alright, that's what it was. And that's why Genesis chapter 12, alright, becomes the counter narrative. God now calls Abraham out of those confused nations to build a people for him. So God does in Abraham to restore what was missing in Babel. We'll see a bit of that as we start. Like I said, we're going to go into the details of that. Now, this important information here says Babylon to Christ. Now, why Babylon to Christ? Don't forget that as they were in Israel. So it's not like they are in Babylon. They are in Israel. So it says from Babylon to Christ, which means the issue he's painting here is the reason for a Messiah, right here, which is Messiah, is to set free from the systems of this world. That's what is here in Matthew 1:17. So, in other words, he will love us to view the work of Jesus Christ here with the four Gospels as against the system of this world. Call it Babel or Babylon. We said we're going to break all that in detail. So Matthew is not just writing a story. He's writing God's word through his story. So we should be reading the story of Jesus alongside the Old Testament. Now, do not forget, we use Old Testament for the sake of communication. But in our hearts, we know that Old Testament does not refer to books. Is that clear? Come on, guys, is that clear? Very good. So, now, in Matthew 28, I believe we looked at a bit of that on Wednesday and again last week. Matthew 28, the closing chapter of Matthew. We have verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority and power given unto me in heaven and on earth. In earth. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now we said earlier that the word generations in Matthew 1:1 takes us back to where? Genesis 5:1. Which means the author intends that you read Genesis in the story of Jesus and read Jesus in the story of Genesis. Now the same thing here. It says, in heaven and on earth. It takes us back again to Genesis. Good. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. I'm coming back to that in a moment. I am with you always unto the end of the world. We said the word I am, ego am I. Now, if you have the Septuagint, which is the Greek rendering of the Old Testament, that word, ego am I am with you, is how God introduced himself or spoke to Abraham, to Isaac, precisely to Jacob, and of course, to Moses. So, what is Matthew saying? Matthew is saying here that Jesus, right, is the one who appeared to Abraham. He is the one who appeared to Isaac, Jacob, and of course, Moses. And so, Jesus is not a promise of the Old Testament. The incarnation is a promise. The person of Jesus is not a promise. He is God who was in the Old Testament. And we need to emphasize that very well. So, if we do a Christology of Scripture, in other words, a Christ study of Scripture, he can't be based on Matthew to Revelation. If the Christ is the I am, then he is the one who is in Genesis, is in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so on and so forth. I am with you. He therefore announces himself. Now, because in Matthew 1:23, we have the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel is not his name, it's a description of his work. He's never called Emmanuel. Emmanuel is his function. Isaiah 7:14, we've done that study before, that Isaiah 7:14 was to King Ahaz. But Jesus picks on that motif and then he acts it out as the Exodus person. We've done that story, we'll see all that later on. So, I am with you takes you back to the Old Testament, which means the proper study of the four Gospels is to read it together with the Old Testament. In other words, you have, you know, have you done this before where you try to teach mathematics using pictures, maybe to children. You know what I'm talking about here, right? You want to teach mathematics or arithmetic to children and you use pictures, right? But really, the pictures are just another way of teaching, right? Sometimes you want to teach a subject and you use a story. So what I say in other words is, the four Gospels is God's word in a story. The four Gospels is God's account in a story. In this time around, his personal story. So, a good student of scripture will read everything together. And that's why I've always warned you, don't have a favorite part of the Bible. Is that clear? You must read everything how? Together. Don't have a favorite part. Don't have a favorite part. And don't dismiss any part of scripture. I've said it before. I mentioned this at a Bible school 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And I said to them, those areas that you always dismiss are usually the more or most important parts of scripture. Now, sometimes we dismiss them because we don't understand them. And we just dismiss them. Just the Old Testament, that was the Old Testament. And we say, that was the Old Testament. Forget about that. This is the New Testament. Usually, those areas are the very important portions. If we take our time and study them, they will open up a whole lot of understanding to us of much of the things we read in scripture. So therefore, a Christian must be devoted to the Bible to the extent that he pays attention to details. Mark's Gospel 1:1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, look at the word, beginning. We read Genesis in Matthew 1:1. Now the word arche, beginning of the Gospel. That shows you that this author, again, is writing from Genesis. Because the word he picks on here in the Hebrew is the word Bereshith, B-A-R-E-S-H-I-T. Now, beginning in the Hebrew and the Greek is not without a past. Beginning, in this instance, the arche and the Bereshith, B-A-R-E-S-H-I-T, arche is A-R-C-H-E. It could mean new beginning, right? It also means first fruit. It also means firstborn. We've done this study before now. First fruit, firstborn. So in other words, it's telling us here that Jesus is a Genesis person. New creation, new beginning, firstborn. And you see Paul in Colossians 1 and 15. Put your hands in there, go back to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Paul picks up that theme in 15. He talks about Jesus. He says, who is the image? Image is from where? Huh? Genesis 1:26. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn? Bereshith? Huh? Come on, guys. Bereshith? Firstborn? Reuben was called firstborn, beginning of my strength. Genesis 49:3. Bereshith of every creature. Firstborn doesn't mean first child. We've seen that. Firstborn means the one who has authority over. Over every creature. Just like Joseph had the right of the firstborn, he was not the first child. Jacob had the right of the firstborn, he was not the first child. Isaac had the right of the firstborn, he was not the first child. Israel had the right of the firstborn, they were not the first nation. Firstborn means the one chosen, the vessel, the one who has authority, the servant nation, the servant person. So you have firstborn of every creature. Again, that's a Genesis word. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. That's what we're going to look at later on. Look at this now. In heaven and that are in the earth. See how it merges. Heaven and earth. Now, where do we find heaven and earth related together? Huh? Genesis. Heaven and earth. It says visible and in visible. So, which means, when we say heaven, we mean where? We mean what? Invisible. When we say earth, we mean visible. Now, can the invisible and the visible be in the same place? Now, again, look up, guys. Write this one in capital letter. When we say earth, don't think science. Earth just means visible. Heaven means invisible. And the visible and invisible, they dwell together. Is that clear? Aha. So, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, or things that were created by him and for him. Look at this story well. In 17. And he is before all things, and by him are all things. All things consist. Let's take 18 together. Let's go. I'll wait for you. 18, Colossians 1. Let's go. And he is... I'll wait for you. Are you there now? And he is, but I want you to be very fast. Huh? We're not yet fast though. Let's go. And he is the, hold on. Head, okay? Kephale. Go on. Of the body. Now I told you what body is. What is body? Soma, right? S-O-M-A. It means to unite things. Right? The unity of. Right? Is the head of the union. So you can put union. So anywhere you find body of Christ, you say union. Change it to union. Don't think body is talking about nostrils. If that's the point, that's the one that was crucified on the cross. But body of Christ means union. When we say we are the body of Christ, it means we are united with one another. Is that clear? That's what body means, okay? Okay, look at this now. Let's go. Let's go. The church, does it make sense now? Huh? Who is the? Genesis? Firstborn from the dead. And all things he might have preeminence. So Mark 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So in your notes, you write church. Image of God. That is in Mark 1. Church, image of God, firstborn. Genesis. Coming out shortly. So he takes us back in verse 2, Mark 1, and back in Mark 1. Written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Now what is he doing here? He has read Malachi 3:1 and Isaiah 43 together. And the moment you read Malachi 3:1, Isaiah 43, you are reading Exodus 23 verse 20, because that's what is connected together. We'll see that later. Mark's Gospel 16 and 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs, verse 17, shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. That's the word devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. 19. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into... No, change it. I just explained it. Into what? The inn. Did he leave where we are? He just became what? Does it make sense? Does it make sense? But how did they know where he went to? Because he never left them. Only that he became what? Invisible. But like we sang earlier on, ever visible through his church. Into heaven. And sat on the right hand of God. Right hand of God is Genesis and also Exodus. That is authority and power and expression. Of course, right hand also deals with right of the firstborn. Remember that? When Jacob laid hands on Ephraim, not Manasseh, and he crossed his hand. And he was passing on the right of the firstborn. Genesis 48 and 13 and 14. He crossed over. That's the right of the firstborn. Authority, power, and might. And when God rescued Israel, Exodus 15, he says, by your right hand, you have what? Rescued us. By your right hand. Who is at his right hand? Jesus. So, Jesus sitting at the right hand is his Genesis position. It is Exodus position. That is where he is. And 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs, the word them is italicized, with signs following. Amen. So these authors, the context of their writings are the Old Testament books. If you don't have the Old Testament with you, reading what they're saying, you will miss the context. Because the context of their writings is from Genesis through to Malachi. That's the context of what they're writing. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Learning something? You learning something, guys? For as much, verse 1, as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are mostly assuredly believed among us, even as they delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitness and means of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the first, very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. And we said, Theophilus is also the audience of Acts 1. 1. So, the book of Luke is the A part of the book of Acts. In other words, a good study of the book of Luke without the book of Acts will be incomplete. A good study of the book of Acts without the book of Luke will be so disjointed. You need to read them together. Luke gives the background for the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the future, or let's say the afterwards of the book of Luke. In Luke 24, again, Luke takes us back in the same journey. And verse 25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now pay attention to what I'm about to say now. The word prophet, in the Greek, is the word prophetes. P-R-O-P-H-E-T-E-S. 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 It's from the Hebrew word nabai. N-A-B-I. Now one of the functions of a prophet is to interpret the supernatural world. Now if Luke is saying Genesis to Malachi is referred to as the prophets, it means therefore that the background of Genesis to Malachi is the supernatural world. Like I've always said over the years and said to you, do not read science from the Bible. The Bible is not written to explain science. Don't read commerce. The Bible is set in a supernatural world context. Even though it will use scientific terms of their day, you know, commercial terms of their time, it's for communication. The essence of the writing is the supernatural world. So I read the scriptures to know how to function, communicate, relate with the supernatural world. With the supernatural world. You cannot use the scriptures as sole authority for natural things because you are going to have a lot of eggs splashed on your faces or your face. Because whatever information of commerce, science that the scriptures had, for example, I told you the Bible has no word for brain because there was no brain development or understanding in the Old Testament. Nobody knew what brain was. In fact, they thought that human beings thought through their intestines. That's horrible science. You will say, that shows it's not a book for science. But it's a book to know the supernatural world. That's what it's about. The supernatural. You can't read scriptures to know how to drive, how to fly a plane, how to be a doctor, a lawyer. No. How to do business. You just give all your money away. You can't read scriptures for things like that. The scriptures will point you to where to get such information, no doubt. But the scriptures are set in a supernatural world. Because the supernatural world is a real part of the world that we live. So Luke says, beginning, that's 26, sorry, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory, beginning at Moses. Alright, is that Genesis again? Luke 24, 20, are you there? And all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened ear their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. To read the scriptures together. To read the scriptures together. And we develop the concept of the motif. What is the motif? We said the motif M-O-T-I-F, is a recurring theme of a book. A recurring theme. A dominant theme. We've explored a bit of that. The recurring theme. Motif. We also spoke about the codified language. What is a codified language? A codified language is when a book is interpreting a book that had been written earlier on. Rather than quote all its contents, it reduces the contents to a word, words, phrases, terminologies, or even a person. Now, your job is to go back to where the references are taken from and read the whole story. Listen now. The writers of the New Testament were not merely quoting the Old Testament. They were not quoting it. They were not just mentioning it. No. They were actually explaining them. How are they explaining it? How can you say Paul is explaining the whole Bible with Ephesians? Ephesians is just 6 chapters. How can that explain, you know, 39 books? That's why we said it's a codified language. Those books were not written to replace the Old Testament. They were books or letters written in the absence of the writers. Where they are not present to explain the Old Testament, they will write a short form. Call it a teaching note. Call it a short note. That's what the epistles are. They are never meant to replace the Old Testament. Rather, they point you back to the Old Testament. Always back to the Old Testament. Are we inferring that I must read the Old Testament to understand the New Testament? Exactly. Because the audience of the New Testament authors were reading the Old Testament books. Who's following what I'm saying? Let me see your hand. Is that clear? We must always go there. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. I don't need to go over that again. We said the word logos here is taken from the word Dabar Yahweh of the Old Testament. Dabar Yahweh of the Old Testament. Which takes us to Genesis 15, for Samuel 3, Jeremiah 1, and all the other expressions, the Word of the Lord. In other words, all the writers of the New Testament are reading from the Old Testament. They don't intend that we should replace the Old Testament with their letters. Rather, they intend that we should read them together. Let's go back to Matthew 28. Learning something? Alright. Learning something, guys? Matthew 28. Last week, we looked at the word end of the world. Remember that? Huh? End of the world. And we say, end of the world is will you be ready when the Lord shall? No, that's not an end of the world song. Who knows an end of the world song? I've forgotten them. You guys have any end of the world song? Huh? On the last day, only true. No, is the only true believer too? Only true believers will be raptured on the last day. On the last day, on the last day. So we believe that it's coming a day like that. You may just be sleeping. Or watching a Chelsea game, and that's a big problem for you. And then Jesus shows up, boom! Then your roommate disappears. Or your neighbor, where's my dad? We just didn't see this morning. Hey! Your problem is not that they escaped, it's that you are around. And then, you don't remember all those movies. Most of the time, you are not remembering scripture. It's movies. Hey, 666. They will cut my hand. The number will appear on my tie. They'll cut my then in all those movies you are watching, then they announce on CNN. Breaking news. There has been sudden accidents all over the place. It is believed that some Christians have left the world, but we're still waiting for confirmed reports. With all my soul winning. With all my workers' convention. That theology is ridiculous. You will be thinking you are doing the wrong thing when you are doing the right thing. You will be feeling bad. Really, really bad. You think you are sinning. I don't know why I was talking about you this morning. You know, she never used to wear trousers. She said, she just doesn't feel, you know, Christian. So I listened to her for a long time. So one day I said, you are going to wear trousers today. and you are going to go out. She said, the brethren were there. He said, Pastor, no. Maybe in another time. I said, no. It's the day that God will deliver you. This was about 21 years ago, 22 years ago. So she doesn't even wear skirt again. This is how life is. Somebody that was going to take her to hellfire. She now has the hellfire on earth. You have breathing. No. You know, and you have a consciousness. But one day like that, I told Brethren that if Jesus was going to come in the next 5 minutes, what would you do? Brethren. So what your mind is, you'll say, Father, whatever I have done, whatever, I can't remember everything, but you know you keep records. Lord, I must not make this. I must not miss this one. I must make it. So, what usually comes to your mind is not God's word. It's the things you heard. There is nowhere in the Bible where you are told people are going to disappear, except by kidnapping. There is nowhere. That teaching of people disappear is not anywhere in the Bible. It happened to Enoch and Elijah. And it was not a surprise. In Elijah's time, they said the Lord is going to take him. He wasn't seeing anything, they announced it. And so, those things are bad theology. And listen, those things started creeping into the church world barely less than 1,000 years ago. Hallelujah. People will disappear. Hey! Those things, when you are afraid of them, you got it not from God's word. His movies, Mark 4, Distant Thunder, what else? Born in Hell. Those things showed me Pepe. Distant Thunder, Born in Hell, there's another one. Mark of the Beast. I've acted those things. Every move, every one I acted about rapture, I always miss the rapture. So, one day, the brother now began to pray for me, say, this brother, he's always missing the rapture. Father, may it not be his portion. And I was saying, amen, amen. This is wrong theology. There's nowhere in God's word where you are told somebody is going to escape, another person is going to stay. And they say, hey, wait. So I said, what is Matthew 24? Don't worry. We'll get there. I've taught you before. The person that escaped, that they took away, is taken for captivity. The one that stayed was delivered. Can see how bad theology affects people. That's why Jesus said, when that time comes, if you're on the mountain, don't come home, oh. He said, keep running. That's what he said. For other people, they just wake up in the morning. In fact, I had the theology so destroyed my thinking. As a secondary school boy, I had this friend that was very, very spiritual in my view. So I told him that I ensured that his bunk space was always above my own. You know, you can only reach your hand like this. It's not easy to. You don't know what I'm saying. So I felt that when the rapture is about to happen, I'll just hold his leg. You know, it's easier to do like this than to go this way. I'm not joking, no. I'm not joking, sincerely. So I know how you can believe the wrong things. You just believe something that doesn't exist. And then your conscience will be heavy. Someone told me one time, he said, sir, I believe that my sins are forgiven. I believe it. Sir, what I was, sir? What if it's not true? I said, but I just took time to explain from God's word. He said, I see, sir. I'm just saying. I said, okay, who will come and say, you know, God is one that can do what he likes at any time. I said, I don't serve such a person. Hallelujah. So you have that thinking. And people can believe the wrong things. Have you ever read this book, Delivered from Power of Darkness? Imre Lenny? That book is one of the most ridiculous ones that has been written by any human being. You read that book. Who has read that book before? Hi. You read it before. The first thing you do, you go and check under your bed. Everybody says it. They start suspecting people. Yellow, long hair, hey, too black. You start suspecting food. Because they say this food is made by the queen of the coast. Then we have this sardine then called queen of the coast. There's trouble. With ignorance. You just be believing terrible things. You know, the bad part is this. If you start your Christian walk on wrong doctrine, it takes a long time to get out of it. Because you learnt it too early. It's in your songs. It's in your... And they're saying, pray for holiness. Hey, God is... And there's this picture about God that, you know, He's just looking at you one eye. Looking at you one kind. That's God, though. You're the beautiful God. Hallelujah. Thank God for His word. I said, thank God for His word. So your view of the end of the world, right, might just be very horrible. Now, in Matthew 28, unto the end of the world. Now go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Are you in church? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You I don't think you know what these things have done to people. They've wrecked lives. A whole lot. They've wrecked. When you mishandle God's word, it can do a lot to people's lives. Look at Matthew 24. Now, we're going to read from verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Does that ring a bell? Huh? The temple. You know, we said much of his conversations were about what? A major reason why he was crucified was about the temple. And we said the temple is meaning heaven and earth. Is that clear? Can you remember? Is this ringing a bell? Very good. So, this was about the temple. And to show him the building, disciples came to him for him to show him the buildings of the temple. So look at the context. The buildings of the temple. Then he said, say ye not all these things. Verily I say to you, there shall be not left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. You know, you have said that before. Destroy this temple after 3 days. So read that together. Then he sat upon the Mount of Olives. Disciples came to tell us, when shall these things be? Now, what is he talking about? Destruction of the... Hey, yeah. Destruction of what? The temple. Which should happen, right, upon his resurrection. Events from his resurrection. That's what he's talking about. When shall these things be? Now, they knew this. That there was a prophecy from the Old Testament that God was going to rebuild the tabernacle of David and bring all the nations inside. They knew it. They are now asking, when shall these things be? That's the conversation they were having. Now, he now said to them, look at this. When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of what? Of thy coming. And of what? Of thy coming. And now, look up. Look up, oh. Don't write anything. Aha. Did they think he was going to die? So what coming were they talking about? Are you following what I'm saying? Did they think he was going to die? They believed he was not going to die. So the signs of your coming is the coming of the Christ. Who's following what I'm saying here? Are they saying, what is the sign of your second coming? No. He didn't know he was going to die. Let's come back again. Come on, guys. Are you following this? Now, he had told them in the temple that he came for the destruction of that temple. So that he will build another one, right? Come on. Now, so that is what the conversation was about. So the end of the world could not have been this world coming to an end. Remember we said, end of the world will mean all the different times coming together. Which is fulfillment of prophecy. Who's following these guys? Are you following? Aha. That's why I said, don't write nonsense. So. Now, listen, now watch this. He now said, take heed that no man deceive you. Look at his response. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. So, which coming are they talking about? The coming of the expected one from the Old Testament. Not rapture. Is it clear? Aha. Not rapture. You know rapture, it's not rapture. I love the word rapture. It's good. But it's not a Bible word. Do I believe in rapture? I do. But not the kind of rapture some are talking about. Now, notice what he says here. The end of this, the end of the world. Now let's look at the Greek word there. The Greek word here is the word suntelio. S-U-N-T-E-L-E-O. S-U-N-T-E-L-E-O. Now, notice what they ask. The sign of your coming. Now, Semion, S-E-M-I-I-O-N, did they believe he was the Christ? Yeah. So, the sign of his coming. What are the signs of you, the Christ? That's what they were saying. Semion. Something that points to the fact that you are the Christ. He had given them one of them. One of the things he told them was that this temple was going to come what? Down. So, it's not the sign of the rapture. Are you getting what I'm saying? Aha. Now, he now says, first thing is, there will be many false Christs. Is that clear? Come on. How will that be the end? If it is the end, why would there still be false Christ? I thought end is tam, 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 nothing again. No. End simply means all the things prophesied are now coming to pass. And one of the things prophesied in the Old Testament was also that there will be false anointed ones. Because from scripture, anything God does, we always find a counterfeit. Is that clear? Aha. Watch this now. So he went on and on. There were wars, rumors of wars. Now look at verse 6. He says, but the end is not yet. Same the word, son tell you. Now that word, no, please take this back. The word is suntelia. It's just a noun and a verb, but it's good to just make clarity. S-U-N-T-E-L-E-I-A. Now, S-U-N-T-E-L-I-A means a joint action. Joint action. Joint action. Let's see where that same phrase is used. Matthew 13 and 39. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. So, in the end of the world, there will be a harvest. So, if end means everything is finished, there should not be an activity. So, which means end of the world is described by activities. A harvest. A harvest. Now, you use harvest for seed sown. So, where was the seed sown in scripture? Genesis. Harvest. Matthew 13:40. So shall it be in the end of the world. The same word. 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come and sever the wicked from among the just. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you. The word sontelia again. Till the end of the world. Sontelia means joint action. When you bring things together. It is not when something is finished and there's nothing afterwards. No. It means end. Bringing it together. Hebrews 9:26. Sontelia. Hebrews 9:26. Are you in church? Hebrews 9:26. So, an event, listen now, of the end of the world is harvest of souls. Huh? Did we read that? Okay. Are we also going to have the oppressions of the enemy? Huh? Okay, good. So that means there are several events called the end of the world. Hebrews 9:26. Let's read that one together. Are you in church? Let's go. For then, must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world is Genesis. We're going to look at that too now. Now, but now once where? In the end of the world, same word Sontelia, as he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So the coming of Jesus in the four gospels is described as what? Huh? The end of the world. So when he said, what is the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the world? Are they talking about the rapture or the incarnation? Let me see your answer following this. Is it making sense? Very good. So pay attention here. So, the verb of that word is sontelio. That's what I mixed up the other time. S-U-N-T-E-L-E-O. Now, a typical Greek student knows that the word telio is used for perfection. When something is ripe. Maturity. So, the word sontelio is the verb of sontelia. It means to execute or fulfill together. To execute or fulfill together. It is not when things are ended. So when you hear end of the world, it doesn't mean to end things. It means to fulfill. Mark 13 and verse 4. Mark 13 and verse 4. When shall all these things be fulfilled? Son, tell you. Luke 4 verse 2. Fulfilled. When they were ended, he afterwards hungered. Luke 4:13. When the devil had ended all the temptation or fulfilled. Acts 21:27. Acts 21 and verse 27. When the 7 days were almost ended. 7 days of purifying. To fulfill the purification. Romans 9:28. For he will finish the work and call it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord do upon the earth, make upon the earth. So he will fulfill. That's it. Then Hebrews 8:8. Hebrews 8:8. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Jacob. I will make to fulfill. So the word here, end of the world, means fulfillment. Fulfillment of the times. So go back to Matthew 24. and 6. It says, you have wars and rumors of wars, but wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes is not the fulfillment. They are the signs, but that is not the fulfillment. Now, why is it a sign? Because in Genesis 3:15, redemptive work of God was going to be countered by the seed of the serpent. So, that means persecution, destruction, evil are signs of what is going on. Now, look at verse 14. Pay attention to verse 14. Let's take verse 14 together. Let's go. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all, and then shall the end come. Which means the fulfillment of all the prophecies, all the times of scripture will consummate in the gospel being preached in all the world. Can we also add to it that when the earth is God's resting place? Would that be correct? Can we say when the glory of God fills the earth? Would that be correct? That is the fulfillment. But the signs will also be the works of the enemy. Huh? Come on. Persecution. So, we are in the last days, means not the last hour that the world will wrap up. Mm-mm. It means the fulfillment of prophecies, when all of God's word will come to pass concerning the earth. That is why the last days, or call it the end of the world, describes events, not a completion. So, when it says, "Lo, I am with you always," does it not make sense? Right? Till the end of the world. So, end of the world simply means things are happening as fulfillment of scripture. So, you can replace the word end of the world with fulfillment of God's promise or prophecies. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Can we also see signs of it in evil? Huh? Come on now. Rebellion? Huh? Very good. So it is not talking about what we call rapture. Now, if you read further, I was saying this earlier. When shall therefore the abomination, look at verse 15, of desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet, and in the holy place. Then it says, look at 16. So you know it's not talking about people disappearing. Look at, let's read 16 together. Let them that be in Judea flee where? That means it's giving you an instruction to rapture yourself. Look at verse 17. Let him which is on the housetop not come not to take anything out of his house. Neither let him that which is in the field return back take his clothes. Woe unto them which are child and to them that are suck in those days. Pray that your flight should not be where? This is not here play, no. Aha. Alright, neither on the Sabbath day. There shall the great tribulation, he says, such as was not since the beginning of the world at this time, no, not ever shall be. So he's definitely referring to a destruction, an apparent destruction, an apparent invasion of their days, which had happened already, because the temple was indeed destroyed. So, this is not a disappearing act. Not at all. Are you in church? Are you in church, guys? Uh-huh. So, in Hebrews 1:1, so you have two words that usually, you have last days. Now, we've seen the word end. So, end doesn't mean closure. Do you get it? End means fulfillment of the times. Now, we have another one called last days. If last means finished, why did he say in the last days I'll pour out my spirit? And that's 2,000 years ago. Eschaton. Eschaton. E-S-C-H-A-T-O-N. It also refers to fulfillment. eschaton, fulfillment of promise and promises. So Hebrews 1:1. Are you learning something? Come on, guys, you learning something? Are we preaching the coming of Christ? Yeah. How preach the coming of Christ every day? He came as a man, God in the flesh. Hallelujah. And he will flood the whole earth with himself. That's the coming of Jesus. He's coming into nations, into hearts, into the earth, where he fills the whole earth. But not that he went away. Are you there? Then he's saying, guys, I'll be back soon. No, he said, lo, I am with you. Who's following this? Is it making sense? Aha. Hallelujah. Alright, come on. Let's go back here again. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times, in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The word there is polumeros and polutropos. P-O-L-U-M-E-R-O-S. P-O-L-U-T-R-O-P-O-S. Now, usually it means parts, bits and parts of something. Polumeros and polutropos refer to when something is coming in bits and pieces. You know, like installments. Installments. It's coming in installments. 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 He now says, look at verse 2 together. Let's read verse 2 together. At where? In this eschaton. So eschaton, we said, is the fulfillment. Does it make sense? Come on, does it make sense? Spoken to us in his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, that he had by himself poured our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So you can see the last day or last time is about Jesus' death and resurrection. So when you hear last days, the first thing on your mind is the incarnation to the resurrection and the events that came after it. Which also includes persecution? Huh? Rebellion? Come on. Come on, talk to me. False Christ? Right? Aha. That's what last days mean. So, we are the last days, oh, hey! You know, I was talking to someone and I went to, in London one time, I went to do evangelism, and so, I was taken to a gay bar, and that's, all of them are gays. And someone said, eh? I said, ah! Yeah, I want to preach to them. And someone said, eh? Where are the last days, though? I said, why? He said, ah, how can people openly have a gay bar? So they think that when they see new things that he hasn't seen before, that's the last days. Say, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. So I said, in the United Kingdom, cathedrals are now disco halls. Some are now more. Say, ha! 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 Jesus, come. The world is coming to an end. Look at you. Maybe it's UK that you saw. I said, don't you know that Paul's major ministry place is 30? Eh? What are you even talking about? 30! I said, God, in Genesis 3, he put man in his own sacred place. Satan entered. It's a wrong theology that, when you say anything that is true, you say, huh? A pastor just says, I don't know if I believe in Jesus. Say, sign that Jesus is coming this year. He's coming this year. My birthday, 1996. You know, I've had birthdays. So they have pastor's birthday. So their brother, he was going to share, preach on my birthday. 96, 6 or 5. So they praise the Lord. So his voice was shaking. Just to exhort the brethren. I don't know who chose him. He said, brethren, Jesus has tried to come twice this year. It was my birthday. Brethren were seated. And I was seated there. How do you start fighting on your birthday? And that guy, we call him Bishop. Not Pastor Larry Amuso. This one is different Bishop. For your love, I gave him Bishop. So he said, 2 times. He said, even March, you know my birthday is me. He said, March he came. He saw the church was not ready. He said, but the 3rd time is going to come. Whether the church is ready or not. I stopped him. On my birthday. No. What kind of nonsense message is this? Who is building the church? He said he got the vision from that one guy died. Usually that's where those things come from. The last time to bury him, guy now woke up. And I said, he brought a message from heaven. I said, Jesus rose from the dead. He preached. You have not believed. It's one guy that we don't know where he went to. You know, some people, when they wake up like that, they say nonsense. Do you know that Lazarus was not told to share? Lazarus, come and preach. What did you see? Jesus, you need salvation. Uthikos, come and say, what did you see? Nobody called anybody to say anything. When people rise like that, just say, go and rest. The guy said, I said, don't say God is in my birthday. He took offense. I didn't care. Of course, we joked about it years after. He's coming. So I said one recently that the angel was supposed to blow a trumpet. Wanted to go, Jesus was saying, don't blow it. You know why? They think there is a trumpet. Oh, he says the trumpet shall sound. The last trumpet, there's a real trumpet. You won't be daft now. These are figures for speed. In God's name. You think it's a trumpet? Is it your trumpet? What's the angel going to blow? Stand up for the time. Stop thinking nonsense. It's a communication, right? Usually in their day, a great event, right, of a kingdom is announced with trumpets. They are not asking you to go and buy trumpets. Is that clear? Allah Akbar. Wrong theology can mess up your mind. Mess your mind up. Really mess you up. Can you imagine? Jesus wanted to, the angel wanted to blow the, Jesus now was stopping him. Don't do it. The father was saying, look, I want to do it all. How did you believe that? You know, it's good to go to a church where they teach God's word. Because you don't laugh. Oh. People that believe this are very smart people. Oh. They will be wearing suit and tie. Some of them are PhD holders. And they say, I say, how do you do that kind of rubbish? You know, that book, Delivered from Power of Darkness, in those days, was a very popular Christian book. And the guy said Jesus was the right hand, the devil was the left hand. Jesus would talk, the father would look at it. The devil would say, it's making sense. It's making sense. How did you believe that? Sorry. 1 Corinthians 10. Hallelujah. So, when we say we are in the last days, Paul was in the last days. Right? Judas was in the last days. Herod was in the last days. Is that clear? It simply means the fulfillment of prophecy. Is that very clear? Aha. Only to believe. Those who say, soon and very soon, they are not around again. The person that composed, we are, they are not around. Hallelujah. Are you there? Learning something? 1 Corinthians 10. Bible teaching makes you intelligent. Is that okay? You will be intelligent. 1 Corinthians 10. Now look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them. Now, he's talking about the Exodus, right? Come on, talk to me, church. Happened unto them. Unto them. For what? For what? Tupos. It's a motif. And they are written for what? Our admonition. Upon whom what? Do you see it now? So we are living where? At the end of... Why is it called end of the world? Because Jesus has come. Telios. The word there is telios. Now, I checked the Strong's Concordance. Strong's Concordance says telios is often used for a principal issue or purpose. A principal issue or purpose. Now, that word telios is taken from another word, telos, T-L-O-S, same word actually, same pronunciation. It means when something is due. It's due. It's like when you have invested things. When you use telios, it means you are getting the outcome. So end of the world means the outcome of prophecies. Outcome of promises. In Romans 10:4, Christ is the end of the law. Fulfillment. Romans 10:4. Telos. Romans 10:4. Christ is the telos. Romans 13 and verse 7. Render to all their telos due. What is due? Alright? 1 Corinthians 1:8. 1 Corinthians 1:8. Who shall also confirm unto you the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord. The end. Romans 6. Oh, I skipped Romans 6. Please go back to Romans 6. I read 1 Corinthians 1:8. Romans 6, 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. What's end there? Huh? Result, right? Look at verse 23. Let's take 23 together. The wages, the word wages is telos. The wages of sin, sorry for that. Go back to 21, not 22. 21, not 23. What fruit have you? In those things whereof you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. That is the fruit of it. What is due? Pardon me. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end. Now, why does he use end? Go back to 23. For every man in his own order. Christ what? The first fruit. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming, then the end. So you can see it's about fruit. Right? Results. Good. Now go to John 13:1. Are you learning something here? John 13 verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in this world, he loved them unto where? The end. Fruits. So, when you read end of the world, it's fulfillment of prophecy. What is due? What is expected? It is not this world is coming to an end. Is that clear? Aha. Because the word world refers to the events of the Old Testament or what God is doing. Put that together. The events of the Old Testament or what God is doing. You see another phrase. Foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. What does it mean? John 17 and verse 5. Like I always say, when a scripture is misinterpreted, oftentimes a major truth is lost. Now, whereas the end of the world is for us, pay attention here, to get into what God is doing. Some thought the end of the world is to wait for God to do something. Whereas it's the other way around. The end of the world, he says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. So end of the world is for activity. Verse 14, Matthew 24, the gospel of this kingdom we preach where? In all nations. That is end of the world event. So if, watch this now, who therefore will be responsible for the fulfillment of all things? The church. For the fulfillment of all things. My brother Higgins said, to us years ago, he said, do you know that there is just one thing that is called the sign or the completion of the world? He said, the gospel being preached in every nation. So, if a man really has the proper sense of the end of the world, he will be on the road preaching the gospel. Some guys saw the world was going to end at some point. They went to hide in one bush and they were praying, waiting for Jesus to come. That's the exact opposite. Lo, I am with you always, till the end of the world. What did he now do? He sent them to preach the gospel for the fulfillment of all things. Is that clear? Praise the Lord. So let's look at another phrase. From the foundation of the world. John 17 and 5. Oh Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I've told you over and over again that when Jesus is talking, the context remains the Old Testament. Before the world was. I'll give you the Greek word quickly. Pros, tau, ton, cosmos. P-R-O. Pro. Then tau. T-O-U. Then the word ton. T-O-N. Pros, tau, ton, cosmos. K-O-S-M-O-S. Pro, tau, ton, cosmos. P-R-O-T-O-U-T-O-N, K-O-S-M-O-S. Now, the word world here is for setting. To set up something. Now, that's before the world was. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 7. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7. So you see, for many of us, we need to renew our minds. There are things people have believed wrongly. Wrongly. And sometimes, the kind of theology that have been believed, it may take us a longer time to correct them. To really do. To correct them. Some people don't even know that certain things being preached in certain places is just human tradition. Human tradition and culture. They don't know. Some don't even know this is a wrong doctrine. Hallelujah. They don't know. Some people believe, the God has reserved a place for sinners, that they will be burning and burning and burning and burning and burning. The fire will not go down, they will not go out. Where did they get it from? It's not God's word. It's a theology. That is wrong. We did a series on this and I explained to you. It's even one of our books. The person that began this disappearing rapture. I know his name. And it's not Paul, it's not Peter, it's not James, it's not John. Hallelujah. We know the name. Glory to God. Now, some people ask me some questions. I'll tell them, the moment I see you ask that kind of question, I'll say, well, I won't answer you. You first need to get a hold of certain foundational understanding. There are things I can't teach now. In fact, the more we grow as a church, I still can't teach them now. You get it? Because, not because what we are saying is controversial, it's because what you know is controversial. To Paul. To Jesus. Where did you get this from? He didn't say it. Not anywhere. Hallelujah. For example, there was a doctor who came to one of the services, a preacher, and said, the day I was explaining eternal life, I said, why was this thing so clear? That there's the confusion of what eternal life is. Say, well, because it's what you have believed. And sometimes some things are stronghold. Stronghold, as I'm saying this, some of you are still thinking, I prayed for you. Not you. But some people will be thinking, not you. And I'm thinking, I can see it. But is this man now saying many people are wrong? How can that be the test of truth? That many people are saying it. So, the largest denomination in this world is the Catholic Church. And they believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is our intercessor. How does that become the truth? Because they said so. Because many people believe it. No. You have people say, well, what about these people? You know, but I've always believed all my life. You can believe anything all your life. And it's a lie. So, when you investigate scriptures properly, believe its content. Is that clear? Now, look at 1 Corinthians 2:7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Before the world. Proston aion. P-R-O-T-O-N-A-I-O-N-O-N. Proston aion. Now, those words shouldn't confuse us. So many people think that what he's saying is that before Genesis, something was happening. And that's what he's talking about. No. Not at all. That's not what he's saying. Let's understand the use of this word. Either the word before the world or from the foundation of the world. Look at Matthew 13. You see the importance of explaining this in a moment. You know, we started with the end of this world. Right? Now, we are going to the beginning. So, you'll be able to relate them together. Are you following what I'm saying? Matthew 13. And verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. Let's go. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. The foundation of the world. The word here, put the Greek down, it's critical to know the Greek word here, is apokatabole kosmos. A-P-O. K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E. A-P-O-K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E. K-O-S-M-O-S. Apokatabole kosmos. Now, this statement is taken from Psalm 78 and verse 2. Psalm 78 and verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. Word mashal, proverb. M-A-S-H-A-L. Proverb, that's what it means. In a proverb. I will utter dark sayings of old. Notice what it says. Dark sayings of old. The word there is riddle, chida. C-H-I-D-D. That word dark sayings. C-H-I-D-D-A-H. It means riddles or questions. Questions. Now you can get that word. I'll just run through some text for you so you put down, you see that later. Judges 14. Judges 14, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. So Judges 14 from verse 12 to 19. Riddles, where you pose a question. Okay? Judges 14, verse 12 to 19. 1 Kings 10, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 1. Psalm 49 verse 4. Psalm 49 verse 4. Proverbs 1:6. Proverbs 1:6. Ezekiel 17 verse 2. Ezekiel 17 verse 2. Daniel chapter 8 verse 23. Ezekiel 17 verse 2. Daniel 8 23. Habakkuk 2 6. Habakkuk 2 6. Now, look at that Psalm 78 again. I'm going to read from the Greek rendering of that Psalm 78. Are you still in church? Alright. Psalm 78 verse 2. Remember that what Matthew calls of old. Sorry, what King James says of old, Matthew says from the foundation of the world. Now, I'll read this from the Septuagint. I'll open my mouth in parables. This is the Septuagint, the Greek rendering. I'm using the Lexham English Septuagint. This is it. And it says, I will voice riddles from the beginning. From the beginning. Okay? From the beginning. Is that okay? Huh? Genesis? Very good. Bereshith? Very good. Of course, the Hebrew here is Qedem, Q-E-E-D-M. Now, notice what Matthew calls the beginning. Foundation of the world. Matthew 13 and verse 35. Foundation of the world. Is that Genesis? Is that beginning? Is that Genesis? Huh? Come on now. Is that beginning? Genesis? Come on guys, are you following this? Beginning? Genesis? So foundation of the world refers to where? Genesis. Look at Matthew 11 and 25. No, Matthew 11 and 25. Matthew 25, I take that back, verse 34. Matthew 25 verse 34. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's the book of Genesis. Come on. Alright. Luke 11 verse 50. The blood, are you there? The blood of all the prophets, which was shed from where? Which book now? Are you there? Maybe look at verse 51. From the blood of who? Is that Genesis? Very good. John 17, 24. So we have two phrases we are looking at. End of the world and from the foundation of... Is it making sense? John 17, 24. So, was there persecution at the foundation of the world? Killing of God's prophets? Wars? Were there wars? Rumors of wars? Now look at it, John 17, 24. Father, I would that you they also whom you have given me, I am, they do my glory which you have given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. Pros, apol, katabolis, cosmos, foundation of the world. Again, look at Hebrews 4. This Hebrews 4 is quite instructive. So to know what the end of the world is, you go to the foundation. Are you learning something? End of the world, foundation of the world. Hebrews 4 and verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Let's finish it together. Although the works were finished from where? Look at verse 4. For he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day that God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Where is this found? Genesis 2 verse 3. So Genesis is called foundation of? Who's following this? Is it making sense? Now go to Hebrews 11. That same word, katabole, is what I want to use now. Katabole, foundation. What it means to use, what does foundation mean? You know, we said end, we mean what? Result. Can we also call it fruit? Okay. So let's look at the word foundation, kataboli. What does it mean? Hebrews 11:11. Are you there? Alright. Hebrews 11:11. Are you there? I'll wait for you. Are you there now? Okay. Through faith, let's take it together. Through faith also. As you are reading, listen to me. Right? Okay. Let's go. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to katabole seed. Making sense? To conceive seed. To sow seed. So, beginning is the sowing of the seed. End is what? To reap it. Who's following this now? Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? Now, part of the signs of the end, are we going to also see it at the beginning? Killing prophets, persecution, false Christ, strange gods. Very good, because they were at the beginning. 1 Peter 1:20. For who verily, talking about Jesus, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these times. 1 Peter 1:20. Revelation 13:8. For all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I told you that it's the book of life from the foundation of the world of the Lamb that was slain. Look at Ephesians. I skipped one. Revelation 17:8. Now look at Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1:4. Are you learning something? Look at this one. I'll start from 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's take 4 together and slowly. According as He chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be. So did all the writers of the epistles use the analysis from Genesis? Can you see what? It's Genesis. Because the story of blessed, what do we have to find blessed? Genesis. From Genesis. So, look at the two things. Genesis is foundation of the world. The coming of Jesus Christ is end of the world. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Is it making sense? Is it clear? So, end of the world, or last days, refers to what? The fruits of what God sowed in Genesis. Would it also invite persecution? Enemy interactions? Exactly. So we can pick the motif of Genesis and see it in today. So end of the world is not when the Antichrist will appear. The Antichrist has been since Genesis. Is Cain not an Antichrist? The Antichrist has been since Genesis. That's why John said, the Antichrist is already in the world. So Antichrist is not Obama, Bill Gates, an innocent guy. Antichrist. Antichrist is not, it's not even Muhammad. Of course, anyone who opposes the gospel is Antichrist. But there's no Antichrist. The guy, someone said, now they are now giving chips. Ha! That they will now tell you that before you enter one country, they will put this thing on your, and then you enter. Ha! That all this our credit card. All this our card. We have 666. What? Christians, please. You know, the thing that gets one really upset is the fact that some people that believe it are scientists. You are a tech person. You have certification. And you believe that kind of thing. Someone talked about 5G. And he said 5G is going to transfer something from the... Someone said, did I listen to it? I said, my mind is too small. It can't take... How would you... Sometimes we make Christians and scientists start to argue over what? And that's lack of understanding of scripture. If today they ask us to put mark on our hand to cross border, I'll have it in all my leg. Nonsense. Rubbish. How can you reduce spiritual things to codes? Come off it. Say you cannot clean it. Says who? Can't clean what? If it's on your left, if you cut it, it will appear somewhere. You know, let me shock you. You know, when we were acting rapture films in those days, movies, we used to say something like, there's coming a time when there will be a technology that will monitor you. Because there was no technology then that the Antichrist will have started. So anywhere you are, you know, you will not know that they are monitoring what you are doing. So you can't run away from the Antichrist, though. You can't run away if you think because that's Simon, though. That if you miss the rapture and you say you can't be running away, they will follow you. They will know where you are. You just say, hey, boss, Jago, you can see where you are. Come out, come out, come out. You know, we never saw a day of drones. Many of those children have been disgraced by science. Disgraced. Today, you put your information alone just on the internet. People can search you out. So you that you are searching, are you Antichrist? You security people here that use a lot of gadgets, CCTV. Are you Antichrist? Say, we saw you. You can, on the last day. It's not last day. It's common sense. Stop it. Stop it. Stop reasoning like Mumu. You are born again. Okay? Sure. So, foundation of the world, Genesis. End of the world from Matthew. Right? Where the word became flesh. Does it make sense? So one of the signs of the end of the world, the death of Jesus. Huh? Come on. Resurrection. Destruction of the temple. Building a new one. Wars. Rumors of wars. What about increase in evil? Right? But yet the gospel is advanced. Does it make sense? Aha. So don't wake up and say, So people say, when they discover the evil that we are seeing today, they say, This is some young boys and young girls display sex on the internet and say, the last days are here. I went to a town in West Africa in 1995. We went for a missionary work because I grew up as a missionary. I'm still one. And they were in the middle of the town. They had a male sex organ erected as a statue. And people would come there at some times in the year and they would have sex in the open place. Hear this. In the days of Moses, right? In the ancient nation culture, those things were rife. There is nothing new under the sun. Did you hear what I'm saying? Does everybody scare you? Hey! When we see those things, we preach the gospel. Is that clear? That's all. Don't say, who has disappeared? If anybody has disappeared, call the police. Did you hear what I said? If you don't know somebody that slept beside you, ring police. It is not Christ that took the person away. Is that very clear? Aha. Hope you are learning something. So what we are saying, in other words, is, can you see, therefore, that Bible theology begins from Genesis? Is that very clear? I didn't get to today's teaching at all. How about that? This was supposed to be an intro to it. But don't worry, next week. There will be no singing next week. We'll just teach. Alright? So, you can see that Bible theology is taken from where? So to understand end of the world, you have to read the beginning. What did God say He would do? So let's just take one or two things and we'll close. You learn something? Alright. Hallelujah. So which means, whatever fruit we are seeing today, the seed was sown where? In Genesis. And we're looking at man, you and I, seated on high. We must see the seed
from the foundation of the world. That is where the seed is sown. So when we see Adam and Eve put in the Eden of God, garden, a sacred place, a supernatural world, a supernatural world. How do we know it's supernatural? Because when we read about gardens, trees, they are parables. It is a supernatural world. The serpent, the Nakash, means a divine being. A supernatural being. It therefore means that in scripture, our engagement in this world is firstly supernatural. Is that clear? Then natural. So as we continue to study who you are in Christ, where you are seated, we're going to find out how God made man in Genesis. You learn something this morning? You learn something this morning? Stand to your feet, lift your hands. Pray in the Holy Ghost.